We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. 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 Worship you. Shete karabastu brona, etaramara kornona, halatano, haratano. Receive worship from our hearts tonight. Receive reverence from our hearts tonight. Receive. We'll receive the pouring of our heart, the outpouring of our soul to you, our Lord Jesus. And I karonos you, lover, lover our soul. We bless you. We worship you. Glorify you. We exalt your holy name, your wonderful name, your beautiful name. Come and find our hearts pleasing tonight, just for to commune with us, to fellowship with us, to speak, Lord. Lord Jesus, we want to learn from you. We want to pick the attitude, the heart, your own heart for, of prayer, your own heart, your own attitude towards your Father. We want to pick it, Lord. Teneste, keremiontas, siabrehenobrekus, eretasuliabrekus, amadoretiontamaikedebrekus, orahana spiritubrekus, hemetorantubrekus, etian religious spirit. Mahati, help us to teach us to pray. Come and teach us to pray. Tesenan teach, eferen our teacher, our teacher, our teacher. Lord Jesus, Amanahosin, Tehanophano. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We enter into communion with you now. We enter into communion with you. Our spirit, our heart, Lord Jesus. All we want from you is just share your spirit, share your heart with us, commune with us. Thank you. Share your thoughts with us. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us. Come and teach us. Teach our hearts. Our prayer. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, we have worshiped. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we commit this. Come anew. I pray anew. I sound anew. I come anew. Pray anew. Shimmer anew. Frame anew. Eh, my sheer mehenna coming. Coming anew. Coming anew. Coming anew. Coming anew. I come anew. Come anew. Verse the preno. For a matter that bring times of refreshing. Bring times of refreshing even from the Lord. From the Lord. So bring season of refreshing. Oh, press it. Bring in a hotter, bring in a hotter, bring a hotter, bring in a grace, bring the grace, bring it from the Lord, grace for refreshing, times of refreshing, help for refreshing, refreshment, even of finance your spirit, even of the spirit, even from the spirit, even from the spirit, even from the spirit, even times of refreshing from the Lord. Even by the Spirit, bring to you graces, grace for fellowship, grace for communion, grace and honor, Master Feliaron, Amandun, see a spirit to make clear and on to bind you, for to bind you with the Spirit, to tie you with the Spirit, for on a sieve and on to feel, for not to help you, even to help you, but rather not to touch your Lord, to stay in touch with your Lord. To keep in touch with with your Lord, to stay with the Lord, to be away with the Lord, to stay, to come away even with the Lord, to stay away with the Lord, to sit in our heart, Holy Spirit, to pray in spirit, for any spirit, for I am to spirit, to lead you to the Lord, to lead your heart to the Lord, to bring your heart to the Lord. I'm here to bless you with spirit. I'm here to bless you with spirit. For I'm here to give you spirit. For I'm here to see and bring you spirit. Bring you in the spirit, ever to time you on to lead your heart, to lead your heart even to the Lord, even to the Lord, even to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your help tonight with us in ministry, present with us. Even not tonight, just this little garden, but you are not, you don't need a fanfare. You just simply will come and bless us with trust. We believe in you. We know we don't have the answers. No one has the answers. We've learning about prayer where, Lord, what asked the disciples asked you, came to you to teach them to pray. Father, we have also come. That's the same heart with which we come to you. We're asking that come and answer our questions. Come and even steer the right questions. Steer the right thought. Steer, Lord, the right quest, Lord, concerning prayer, Father, and answer them. Lord, bring wisdom, bring grace, bring utterance, bring direction, Lord. Thank you, our Father. We trust you and we depend on you. I depend on you. Thank you. Help me. Help my heart and lead my heart. Direct my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give you praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good evening to you. God bless you. Thank you for joining to this class. And thanks to everyone who has been following the teaching over the last, I think it's 3 weeks now, of Pastor Femi, our dear pastor, Pastor Femi, just teaching us about prayer. I hope everyone has been blessed and you've taken a lot already from this topic. The topic of prayer actually is inexhaustible. You know, you can never teach prayer fully. In fact, I know that even as a corporate body, the body of Christ, there are still things about prayer that we don't know yet. That the Lord Jesus will still need to teach us, you know, about prayer. You know, like James was saying, that we ask and, you know, we say we don't receive, because we don't ask. That's the first problem. And he said that even when we ask amiss, so spend them on our loss. So you find that until our loss problem is solved, we won't really fall into the right accuracy of what it means to pray to pray aright, to pray properly. One of the beautiful things to study in the Bible is to also watch the evolution of Jesus' prayer journey, different times when he prayed to the Father. That John 17 being the culmination of, you know, that the insight into his prayer. You know, Jesus' prayers are teachings that imagine someone prayed, just said prayers to God, and for thousands of years, we are still unraveling the content of his prayer. So there is, you know, so much around the idea of prayer, the act itself, you know, there is the content of prayer, which is what you should pray for. But there's the content, but also there is also the attitude around. There are so many things about prayer, and Jesus taught these things from different aspects. He taught about things to pray for. He taught about then how to pray. Now, when they came to him, he asked him to just how to pray. And then he said, after this manner, it was actually more teaching about the manner. Manner means attitude, you know, the way the way of prayer. So there's so much about prayer that we need to learn, and the Lord will be teaching us gradually. But one thing I think I always say this anytime I have a chance to speak around this subject, that thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Merci pour l'homme. Merci à que NSG. Kahana Kronti a sipat of and teach. Say it to now, Ekle. I'm the teacher. And now I'm seeing to teach you. See a man to teach you. For an assignment to teach you. To teach all who would learn. Who would want to learn. For not only has the heart, those who have the heart, who have the mind to really go deep into the things of the Spirit, who want to go deeper, not just by principle, but by experience, who want to go deeper, even by experience, into the things of the Spirit. For I am your Lord, and the Lord, and I'm willing to teach. And we need to teach you. Bring to teach you, even by precepts, and also even for to bring you into a personal experiences, even for to establish your learning, even in the things of prayer. For your prayer is a vast cause in the Spirit. For an ahead to see a maton the Spirit pray. For praying, to the heart of prayer, even the attitude of prayer, even the way of praying. For yeah, it is even a craft in the Spirit. For it is even an aptitude, is that which ought to be perfected. For yeah, in all realms in the Spirit, even in all holy realms in the Spirit, for yeah, this is one thing which they hold. For each beings and each creatures, according to their make and their capacity, they also have their own holding and standing, even in prayer. For praying is key. Prayer is key. Prayer is a key. Prayer is key. Praying is key for life. It's key to life. It's key to life. Also, for this cause, I will teach you to pray. I will show you to pray. I desire to show you and even to teach you to pray, even say it the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I have prosper. Give you glory. For yeah, I desire to take you far. I want to take you far and far and far and take you even deep into the Spirit. For if you will know the Spirit, you must learn to pray. Or if you would master the things of the Spirit, or if you will come into realities in the Spirit, if you will come into handling realities in the Spirit, or yeah, you must learn prayer. You must learn prayer. So I will teach you to pray. I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you to pray. Say it the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so I was saying that. I think one thing I always say when I get a chance is that everything about prayer is more in the experience, right, than in what you learn. And thank God for what has been taught over the last few weeks. Those are pointers, really. They're pointers so that you won't start from scratch if you're. When you are beginning to develop or make, to try to begin to make progress in prayer, in your prayer life, so you won't beat around the bush. Those are key pointers and things to watch out for and wisdoms which the Lord has given to us. But when it comes down to it, you cannot learn prayer except by the experience of prayer. You actually have to pray to know anything about prayer. I think that's part of what the Lord is also saying to us, right? That it's by experience. Praise God. Okay, so I would we'll take questions. About prayer, but I just want to read this what I see. Luke chapter 18, that was the parable that Jesus gave about prayer. It was a long one. I don't want to read the whole thing because but I just love that first verse of Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. It says, and he spake a parable unto them. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thank you, Jesus. Men ought always to pray, ought always, always, always to pray and not to faint. Okay, let's just read just to verse 8. Let's see. It says, then saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, that though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Praise God. This is, for me, I found this place quite interesting because of the kind of example, the kind of parable that Jesus used here. Few things like why did he use a judge who doesn't fear God? Why not just use maybe a righteous person as an example? And the way it sounds is as though the judge is not really from his heart wanting to give her what she's looking for, but it's just because she's troubling him. And there's a way you look at this and you're like, that doesn't sound like God. So like, why did Jesus use this as an example to model prayer? Well, Jesus is, of course, we know Jesus was wise. Jesus was a master. There's something that he was getting at here. And of course, I think what he was getting at is summarized by Luke in that verse 1, where he said that he spake a parable unto them, and he said, to this end. So I believe Luke must have, by the Spirit, tried to figure out why Jesus used this one. And he said that the reason is to teach. So it's not really about what Jesus is teaching here. Is not trying to make you assume things about the mind of God or the attitude of God towards us in prayer, but rather to teach about the opposite side, which is our own aspect of it, which is that persistence, the the nature, the attitude of persistence, that continuity, that unceasing nature, right? Thessalonians, they say, pray without ceasing. So many places in the Bible, there's just something about prayer that they just always stress the importance of that non-ceasing thing about prayer, that continuity or that perpetuity or that, constancy when it comes to prayer. It's very, very key. And the Bible, the Holy Spirit, throughout the scripture, use many different ways to express that. That's one of the most important things about prayer, is that is it not ceasing, it not stopping. So he says that he speak a pray a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. Always. Men, are you a man? Or by men, of course, not the male gender, human beings. You are a person, you're a human being created by God. You ought always to pray. And then there's what he calls fainting here. Fainting, of course, is the nature of fainting with respect to prayer is anything that can stop the continuity of prayer is like fainting, in the spirit, right? That's the main thing that I want us to just carry in our hearts, as we, of course, we ask questions and all that. Let's see. First Thessalonians chapter 5, quickly. First Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. It says, rejoice evermore. Right, rejoice evermore, then pray without ceasing. That's ceasing means without stopping. Just pray, keep praying without ceasing. Right, and verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he goes on, verse 19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, improve all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Praise God. So prayer, prayer is key. Prayer should, thank you, Jesus. Sorry. Let's see where he was speaking to. And that's Timothy. First Timothy. Was Paul speaking to Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8, 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and doubting. So you've seen that sense of prayer too. That is something that should be. So if you're praying everywhere, it means that you're just, constantly praying. Praise God. Lifting up holy hands. Of course, that lifting up holy hands is not just physically, it's also in the soul, right, within, right? Without rot and without doubting. What he calls wrath here and doubting, these two things, in a way, they are the two things that Jesus also spoke about when Jesus was teaching about attitude of prayer. In Mark 11, right? Jesus was teaching about prayer there, and Jesus, he majored mainly on faith, right? That was Mark 11, that whosoever righteously unto this mountain be thou moved and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that whatsoever he said shall come to pass, that he shall have whatsoever he said. And then we say, when you stand praying, that you said you should believe, we spoke about believing, right? Then let's see quickly, let me just open to that place, Mark 11, verse 24, right? It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And verse 25, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. So, and then if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So you see these two things. If you look at that, verse 24 and verse 25, two things that Jesus mentioned about prayer that are key here are believing that you have faith, and then there should be no wrath. What he calls wrath here is what he says, if you have aught against any, that's the wrath. So you see, those two things are the same things that Timothy was saying when he says men should leave their hands everywhere. He says with believing, right? And also without wrath in their heart. So those two things are key. Remember, if we go back to that place where Jesus spoke, what we just read, where he said men ought always to pray. At the end of that, at that verse 8, he then began to say, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? So you see, faith is key to prayer, right? And then having faith is one thing that's key to prayer. And then the second thing about prayer is having a heart that is released. When I say released, I mean a heart that holds nothing against anyone. Those are two non-negotiable things. And one thing you will find is that a lot of times, if they want you to pray, when they want you to pray, and they begin to, the Spirit of God begins to steer your heart into prayer, before the soul arrives at the pure ground of prayer in the Spirit, where supplication can be made, where heavens become open, where you actually have the audience of God, a lot of time before that will be spent dealing with these things, these two things here. That Luke chapter 18, verse 1. You see, what they were showing, part of the purpose of the consistency of prayer, being persistent in prayer, is because prayer is not a switch that you turn on. Because of the infirmities of men, right? That oftentimes you don't just ask for something right away, and it's given right away. Not because God is bad or God is evil or God doesn't want to give. It's just because there is something about us that makes us not be able to have the audience of God. If you read, let's see. So there was a city as 18, Luke 18, Verse 2 said there was a city, it was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not have, not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then he said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So you see, his elect cry day and night unto him, but there's a reason that makes God bear long with them. Not because he doesn't want to just answer right away, but there's something in between God and man that must be arranged, that must be dealt with. And to deal with the things that are in between God and man, it takes time. It's never just a one-off thing. That's the reason for the attitude of persistence, constancy, staying in prayer, just constantly just staying there and trying to deal with things that are in between. So this bearing long, God can bear long with man. Remember, we know of course that when it comes to the good things that God has for us, God is more willing to give than we are to ask, right? He said, fear not, little flock, like that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, right? Remember how he said that if we've been evil, right? He said, which of you, if you ask for your child asks you for bread, will you give a stone? And if your child asks you for fish, will you give a serpent? And if you be evil, know how to give good gifts. So how much more will the Father give of the Spirit to them that ask him? Right? So that will tell you that God is more willing, more abundant, as far as anything that will be for our well-being, both spiritually, physically. God is more willing to give than if we are even willing to ask. But the fact that he's willing to give it's not just about God wanting to give something. That's where the whole art of prayer, that's why prayer is not as straightforward. You see, that's why there's a whole process of alignment. That's the word I like to use about prayer, that process of aligning of the soul with God so that things can flow. You will see that sense of alignment also being mentioned when Jesus just began to speak after they asked him, teach us to pray. Remember? Then he began to say, after this manner, pray ye, that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And I began to speak about the will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, then he went into the giving of bread. Bread means provision, right? Our daily bread, and then forgiveness of sins. See those forgiveness of sins? Forgive us our sins and our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see that forgiving those who trespass against us, you see that aspect of not having wrath again, appearing again in Jesus's, teaching about prayer. So you see that there are a lot of things that are when a person just begins to pray, when you begin to pray, just begin to pray, maybe pray in the spirit, ne kriando, siya praata, ferageno, o spread the verakana, arakana masunde, are prahate kirios, embrahaya, aye kareno, umbrashteno. As I'm praying, there is a will of the Spirit. There's a place where the Spirit wants that prayer at that particular time to end up in. But most of the time, like 100% of the time, my heart or the heart of whoever is praying has not yet arrived at the ground, the open ground where audience is open. That's what we'll deduce from all these things that we've been reading, especially this place, Luke 18, where Jesus was using the parable to teach about this thing. Here is that You don't just start praying and have audience fully right away. It doesn't work like that in the spirit. That a lot of the process of praying, a huge part of the process of praying is to have breakthrough. Right? And the process of having breakthrough is what you spend a lot more time in while praying. The reason is because when you want to pray, there are infirmities present, right? We know that place that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, right? For we know not what to pray for as we ought. Right, but let's read that, Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so sorry that I'm just saying all these things. I just want to steer, you know, sometimes before questions will come, we have to steer things up a little bit. So, and then this is just the aspect of emphasis I just felt in my heart that the Lord will want us to pay attention to about this subject of prayer as we trust the Lord to teach us further. So he says, likewise, the Spirit, verse 26, say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, right? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It says, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And then he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you see that because of infirmities, and these infirmities, if you want to sum up, when it comes to prayer itself, the way Jesus sums up infirmities, not we have infirmities are many. Those are the things they want to deliver us from. But when it comes to the infirmities that stand against the effectiveness of prayer, they are in two main categories, according to what we have read, right? From Mark 11, Jesus saying it, comparing it with Paul writing to Timothy, and then also serving as insight into it in that Luke where we read, that there are two main things, even also mentioned in the Lord's Prayer as well, that two main things that form stand as infirmity to prayer are unbelief or lack of faith, and secondly, what they call wrath or having something against people. Right, Mark 11 says, and if you stand up and if you have something against someone, you need to forgive them. Right, in the book of John, chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, it says that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So those two things, when the Bible highlights things like that, you have to don't overlook them. So don't go into prayer without being conscious of those kind of things. And what he's saying in Romans chapter 8 is that the help of the Spirit that is supplied for prayer, right, is for those infirmities. So one of the main reasons for praying actually in the Spirit is for a supply of the Spirit. There has to be a supply of the Spirit when prayer is being made. That's actually the main meaning of supplication. When you are making supplication, it's for to bring a supply of the Spirit. Because if there is no supply of the Spirit, there's nothing else can come without a supply of the Spirit. So when you begin to pray, maybe you're praying in the Spirit, Mengre, Shandre, Ikara, Maoria, Pahoria, Verento, Suri, and Vegreheno. One of the things you should be conscious of as you're praying is be conscious and be expecting that there should be a supply of the Spirit in that prayer. And that supply of the Spirit doesn't just start from once you open your mouth to pray. know, we are all students of Daddy Hagin. You know, he's taught all these things about prayer. You know, one thing that he always says is that almost every time when you pray, you start in the flesh, you end up in the spirit. Right? That you always start praying. When he says starting in the flesh, he doesn't mean flesh as a bad thing. What he means is just that if prayer is to transport you into a place, it's clear that you are not there yet. You don't start from there. If you're already in the spirit, there's no need to pray. Right? If you're already open with God, standing before the throne, everything, then there's no need to pray. You just collect what you want and go. But one of the main purposes of prayer is for moving of the inward position of the heart, where is to help move the heart from where it is to where it needs to be. And now, if we don't know this, the devil can cheat us in this thing, because one thing I've realized is one of the main reasons people don't pray is because they don't feel they are in the spirit. So imagine someone doesn't feel he's in the spirit, so because of that, he refuses to pray. Then the question is, if you don't pray, how would you get into the spirit? You now realize that you don't pray because you are holy, or because you feel holy, or because you feel in the spirit, or because you feel anointed. The reason you pray is because you are not. All right. So sometimes when we are not wise about this, there's a way we can stay away because we don't feel a certain way. You don't feel like praying. The reason why most people who don't pray enough don't pray as much as they should is because often they don't feel like praying. That's the main reason. If you want to say what's the number one reason why people don't pray, it's not because they don't believe God, or they don't believe that God will answer prayer, or they don't believe that prayer is good, or the other things. But the number one reason why a lot of us don't pray as much as we should is because most of the time we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like praying. But you need to understand that not feeling like praying is not abnormal, as long as you are a human being. As long as you're a human being, you're living in this world, as long as your soul is in this intermediate place where it has to interact with the things of the spirit, interact with the things of God, but also has to interact with the external world. Right, which is not the external world is not holy. The external world is not separate. The external world have all kinds of things in there. So as long as you are a person in this flesh, you will need to pray, like Jesus needed to pray. Right? Jesus also had that need as well. And it's normal for you not to feel like praying. In fact, not feeling like praying, as Pastor Femi has taught, but just emphasizing, not feeling like praying is your cue to pray. Now, this thing is, sometimes it can take years to master it. I remember when the Lord began to teach me this. It's not, you hear it in a message, and in your mind, you will know that it's true. When you don't feel like praying is when you should pray, but in your life, day to day is not easy. It takes some time to really master, to really get to that point where when you don't feel like praying, we inwardly you are able to process that and raise and an instinct to pray will arise because you recognize you are not feeling like praying. So to have the response to do that, it takes some time of training your spiritual system to be able to do that. Because when you're not feeling like praying, the reason why you're not feeling like praying, or you feel a bit far, disconnected from the Lord or from the Spirit, is because of too much of being sensitized and awakened to the external life, to the outward life, and to or too much engagement, or being too busy with the outward life. Right? And that pulls the heart, the attention of the soul, away from the spirit. Right? And now some Christians who are not as educated in these things might not know how to deal with that. and feeling those feelings. And so a lot of time that feeling can be paralyzing because you begin to ask yourself, wow, I should be in the spirit all the time. You know, why am I, you know, why do I just feel down? Why do I just feel not spiritual? Why don't I, why am I not, why not interested in doing the things of God? You know, but you have to know that there is what your heart needs at that time is a supply of the spirit. That's one of the first things that happens in prayer is a supply of the spirit. And that's what he's saying here, verse 24, 26, that when there is a sense of infirmity, what the soul needs help at that moment, and that help comes from the spirit. So likewise, the spirit helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, right, as we ought, which is both content of prayer and the manner of prayer. Those are the two things that they will help us with. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. So when we begin to pray in the Spirit, right, the Spirit of God begins to take an intercessory position, first of all, with us to bring a supply of the Spirit into our heart, so that to help move us, of course, if you want to call it from the flesh, then to move us into the spirit. Now, the process of moving into the spirit, what you call moving into the spirit, we know that that is a thing in the Bible. You know, when we say, I was in the spirit on the last day, this kind of thing, moving into what they call moving into the spirit is more of the, is a tuning of the sensitivity of the inward man, right? It's the turning of attention. That's what really it is. It's a movement of attention from being paying attention more towards the outward senses, which are the five senses that collect information from the ex outward life, to turning our attention into picking information from the inward senses, which are the other senses of the soul, the eyes of the soul, the ears of the soul. Right, the all the organs of the soul that can hear things from the Lord, that can hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, that can feel impulses from the heart of Jesus, and all of those things. Once you're able to turn those senses on well, and they are, and then it means that the soul has come into a place where you're able to receive instruction, receive communion, receive fellowship from the Lord, you now see that you are now in the spirit. That's what it means to be in the spirit, too, is for the soul to be in a state where there is ease of flow in terms of it's easy to pick spiritual, you know, impulses. That's why revelation can flow easily. Impulses from the spirit, from the Lord, at whatever level of communion that prayer is gaining access to, right? That person, someone can be in the spirit in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Someone can then be in the spirit in fellowship with the Lord, right? Then someone else can be in the spirit in fellowship with the Father. Someone can be in the spirit in fellowship with God. All these are levels of communion and fellowship, but they are all in the spirit. That's why they will say, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. So whatever level of, you know, communion that the soul has arrived at by virtue of growth, which means which of those beings, which of those, you know, entities have you been raised to really commune with? But either it doesn't matter what level you are, all must be done in the spirit, right? And we see that that process of tuning, turning the heart towards the spirit, right, into or moving into the spirit, there are key things that the Holy Spirit is does in that place, right? Number one is filling the heart with faith. Filling the heart with faith. That's number one. And number two is the dissolving of anything that looks like wrath, right, in the heart. So if a person just begins to pray in the spirit, maybe you don't feel like praying, you're just dry, you just finish doing all kinds of things externally, but something just you just feel something on the inside that you need to move into the spirit. And oftentimes that's how it occurs. You just feel something there. You just need to move into the spirit. And you just begin to pray from where you are. They clear no satari. Thank you, Father. Egrehenta garano feran. When you begin to do that, you now see, from what we are learning, the Holy Ghost will do two things. Number one, he will begin to fill the heart with faith. He will begin to, that's one of the things he will begin to do, just to pour faith into the heart, right? Which is believing, right? And then he will also begin to dissolve wrath, right? What we call wrath, sometimes the wrath in the heart might not be something your conscious mind picks up. You can have wrath. When I say wrath just means some kind of offense, something that is offensive. That on oftentimes offense have to do with our brethren, people who we interact with. The reason is because they are the people who in our lives we've given enough proximity and access to offend us. Right, because it's not you don't no one gets offended by something far away. You just look at okay, that's what they did, that's what that one you get. You wouldn't just and laugh about it because it doesn't touch home. It's hard for you to be offended by somebody that is told you a story of he did something bad to somebody in China, and then this happened, and you just get offended, and it's not. It doesn't operate that way. Oftentimes, offense is caused by proximity. Is those who are close to you who can offend you, right? And so, and those offenses are not always things that happen where your conscious mind registers and you decide to offend. That's why those things about wrath, they can sit in the heart, but you don't even know they are there. A lot of times is when you now want to begin to pray. That's when those things come. That's when if you're have wrath in your heart, and then you want to move into the spirit, you will find that the spirit of God will begin to touch those things, will begin to tamper. You find that wrath stops the doors of the spirit from being opened up, right? And that's why one of the reasons why, apart from actual, the reason maybe major things we pray for, things that have to do with our salvation, things that have to do with salvation of others, intercession. And but as prayer as just a perpetual thing that we do for just your health, your sanity, spiritual sanity as a person, the reason why it's very, very important is because it has the ability to clean the heart, right? To make if there are things and say what spoils the heart are in terms of heart posture. Now, what I'm talking about now, I'm not talking about your nature. I'm talking about your house or just the covenant of the heart. I'm talking about there's something about the spirit of the heart. When I say spirit, I mean a kind of attitude of the heart in the moment, or it's a type of countenance that a person carries. Right. One other thing that prayer does, prayer regulates your countenance. Prayer regulates your attitude of heart, right? And you think of those th that countenance attitude as almost like the pipes where God needs to flow through that can get clogged up, right? And so two things that clog up the inward man from being able to flow effectively. So you see, those pipes I'm talking about, they are the pipes where everything else that we are looking for with God will flow through. Like if you are praying for grace for your building, you can learn the Bible, learn all the things about grace, learn about truth, learn about all that. But when it's now time to now impart the spiritual materiality of truth into your vessel, there are some pipes in the soul where they push those things through. And those pipes, they can get clogged up by certain things, unbelief, and what he calls wrath. Wrath takes different shapes and different forms, but one of that daily prayer is like a daily maintenance of the heart. That's why they will say just be praying constantly, just be praying without ceasing. Yet, and that's one of the ways you should see prayer. So don't see prayer alone as maybe asking God for something or, as something you should do because you are holy. Or you just see prayer, first of all, like a tool, almost like a rag, like a cleaning reagent, the Lysol of your inward person, of your soul, to spray it and clean it, chisel out the debris. That's what prayer does for you. Right? See, prayer is so useful for you to be spiritually sane. Now, when you realize these things about prayer, you just be praying. You won't even need you won't, you almost detach praying from that feeling of being holy or no. Pray, just see it as a tool. You will constantly be praying because prayer helps to condition the heart to be able to, relate and to receive things from God. Now, the reason why I spoke about this is because this is the basics. This is just the basics. Other things about prayer, right, will build upon this understanding. Okay. You, like I said before, you can only begin to really learn about prayer if you're able to deal with everything that's stopping you from praying. Because it's in praying that you will learn about prayer. Okay. Praise God. Having said that, I want to take, if there are any questions from anybody. Thank you, Father. Okay. If you have any question at all about prayer, you can ask. Just raise your hand. Okay, Dami and Daniel, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. It's Tammy.
Good evening, Dami.
Evening, sir. Thank you, sir. So I guess I just had one question. Just wanted a bit more, I guess, explanation and clarity on Corinthians, I think 14 verse 14, that just speaks about, and it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful." I just wanted to get some more understanding of what it says when it says my understanding is unfruitful in that sense. But yeah, that's my question, sir.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So it says, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, okay, from verse 13, it said that, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what he's just saying here is it's just simple that when you're praying in an unknown tongue, that of course is not your normal language. They use the word unknown tongue means that you don't unknown in terms of you don't really know what it is that that tongue is saying. Right. That in prayer, there is the possibility of getting to a place where even though you are praying in the tongue that is unknown, that you can have the ability to be able to interpret that tongue, because the tongue by itself, when you are praying in the tongue with the Spirit, right, just by itself with the Spirit, it doesn't include understanding, that there is a different operation that you can begin to seek for, which would be helping you with interpretation of what you are praying for. So here, Paul is extending the concept of interpretation beyond the gift of the Spirit in chapter 12. You know, in chapter 12, he mentioned diverse kind of tongues as a gift, and then he also mentioned the interpretation of tongues, right, as a gift. And we, of course, we all know how that operates, because you know, we see that, we've seen that multiple times. We see it constantly in our meetings, right, and in fellowships. Tongue interpretation, in terms of the gift of tongues and interpretation, gift of the Spirit. But here he's extending that thing of interpretation beyond just those gifts, but he's extending it into while praying, right, or while speaking, while praying or while speaking, that is possible also for one to be granted the ability to be able to understand, right, while praying. So he said that, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when you are praying in an unknown tongue, say your own spirit will understand. Actually, when he says it prayer, that your spirit is having a communication with, you know, the Lord. But when it comes to your own understanding, your understanding is not your spirit. Your understanding is saying something that actually you can actually process, you know, on the inside. He said, so normally that is unfruitful, right? So you say, what is it then? He said, I will pray with the Spirit, and then I will pray with the understanding also. So I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with. So he's now saying that it's possible for a place, for a person to come into a place where you have both operations happening in you, right? Then in verse 15 is now speaking of it in terms of when in a setting of a church, when thou blessed with the Spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at thy blessing? So when he's using blessing with the Spirit, he's saying just that, a kind of blessing or an utterance which is purely in the language of the Spirit, which doesn't involve understanding, right? But what he's saying is that there is a way that interpretation can be given to a person, the ability to interpret, right? And I don't think he's saying specifically here about the gift of the Spirit. And part of the reason why I know is by experience as well, because this began to happen to me after some time, right? Initially, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. I just pray to just to edify myself, right? And I believe that the Holy Ghost has prayed, made intercession, all right, through my praying the Spirit. But I don't really know what I prayed for. I don't really know exactly what the prayer a lot of time was about. But they got to a point in my walk, when once I start praying in the Spirit, after once I pray in the Spirit for some time, but and often it's not at the beginning, it's when I moved into the Spirit, based on what I explained earlier. You know what I mean by moving into the Spirit. When I've moved into the Spirit in prayer, once I arrive in the Spirit, I realize that as I'm praying, I just begin to understand the things I'm praying about. And that wasn't tongues and interpretation, because that began to happen to me before I had the gift of interpreting tongues. Because at that time, I had never interpreted any tongue before. I mean, in terms of the way we know that gift operates, I'd never done that. That gift of interpretation of tongues began after I encountered word of righteousness after some time. Then interpreting of tongues started, which used to manifest mainly in meetings, and that began to manifest. But before, way before that season, what I realized that when I'm praying in the spirit, as I'm praying, after some time, once I move into the spirit, I begin to understand. I will know the things that I'm praying about. There will be an understanding of what. So it's not just praying in the spirit, but also with understanding as well. And then sometimes I then move from praying in the spirit and I'll start praying in English. Sometimes and now I'm praying exactly those things that the Spirit of God began to stir up in prayer. So I can pray, I begin to switch. I can pray with understanding, but praying with understanding here. And I think somewhere some people might have interpreted what Paul was saying here, maybe just praying in understanding is just maybe saying your own stuff in English and then switching back to tongues or vice versa. I don't really think that's what Paul is speaking about here. I think what he's speaking about here is when you are praying in the spirit, but you now begin to have an understanding of what that prayer, what your spirit is praying. And then you can, if once you, because you now have an understanding of that, you can now say, like Paul said, I will pray in the spirit, and then I will pray with understanding also. But the understanding here is not detached from what, it's not just deciding to pray anything. It's attached to what he was praying in the spirit. But because he has this ability of interpretation, which verse 13 was saying, you should pray that you may interpret, because that thing is now making his prayer life richer. Because he's no longer just praying in the spirit without having an understanding of what he's praying for. He's now able to to have an interpretation within. And so because of that, he can carry out that interpretation into understanding and begin to pray it out as well and switch between that and then the same thing. Said, I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with understanding also. So I think that, I don't know if I'm able to explain, sir. Do you understand what I explained, Danny?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That was very
Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes that's what we call oraculos. You know what we call oraculos? That thing where, sometimes you are talking and you're praying in the spirit, and then some words just begin to come. And sometimes it starts with some words. Then after a while, that words will open door of understanding. So sometimes now that oraculous thing will lead into an understanding where you now understand, okay, this is what this prayer is about. And you can pick it up and understand and begin to pray. So those things happen. Praise God. All right. Is there any other question? Anybody have a question? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Okay, no question. Okay, that's good. I guess we know everything about prayer. Father, we thank you. Okay. Jimmy, you have a question?
Yes, sir. Pastor, good evening, sir. Thank you so
Good
much
evening, sir. Yes, sir.
for everything. So I was just wondering, I don't even really know how to frame the question, but if you can just shed more light on praying through. Yes, sir. Just that thing of I haven't spoken about giving more light on what it means to always pray, right? And that's one of the things you've been saying so far. But I was just wondering if you could just maybe more practical, just more counsel on the matter of praying through. Yes, sir.
Okay. So praying through, I think, well, if I could go back to the first time I heard about that is reading about prayer and listening to messages about prayer from Daddy Hagin, where he he thought about that concept of praying through, and he said that how you know you've prayed through is when you prayed, and then the way he phrased it is that you feel a note of victory in your heart about that. So it's predicated on the concept of carrying burden in prayer, or having burden of prayer. And that's one aspect of prayer as well, that one of the signs that you've moved into the spirit when you're praying is that you'll be able to identify and pick burdens in the spirit. All right, so when you just start praying in the spirit, you know, move your senses from the outward, you know, consciousness to move it into the spirit. That takes time. That's where they deal with all other things. The Spirit of God will now begin to supply the spirit of faith or for prayer, and also begin to deal with all the, you know, the wrath and all the things. And then when that has been dealt with, some time has been taken to deal with that, and there's a breakthrough. One of the signs that you actually broken through into the spirit is the sensing of body. That's how you act. One of the ways you know you enter the spirit in prayer is that you will now begin to sense burdens, right? It is just burdens feel almost like, it's almost like an urgency about something that, you know, that sometimes you might not know exactly what it is. There are sometimes, especially if that interpretation thing I just described, you've already acquired that in your prayer life. Sometimes that burden, it will come with a sense of an understanding. You will now know, there's something urgent about this particular thing that I need to pray about, right? And then that burden will act. It's almost like a thing that will attach to your soul, like a weight that will just attach to your heart. It will just be there. Right. You will feel it there, and then you will begin to pray concerning. As you're praying concerning a burden, there's a way you will know inside you that what you are praying is touching that thing. There's a feeling you will have, you know, sometimes inside. It's when dealing with a burden in prayer. Oftentimes, that's where revelation comes. That's when revelation breaks through, right? Or insight into something, compartment into that matter, an insight into maybe what to do, or, you know, how to approach a subject, you know, or something that you might have been ignoring that you should pay attention to. Or all kinds of instructions can come. Sometimes warnings can come. The Lord can warn you about something, and you begin to see the reason why maybe you shouldn't do something. All kinds of things can come around something. So sometimes also there might not be too much understanding around the burden. Some burdens might be in something that is not within the realm of your consciousness. It can just be something completely different that you don't even know about, but it will just be there as a burden, right? So oftentimes when you move into the spirit in prayer, and that's one of the things that the Holy Ghost does a lot. Like once your prayer life is working, it's like you have become an employee. They just hired you. You've just been employed into the company of praying people. And such people, heaven cherishes such people, because people who pray on the earth are cherished by heaven. Because, I mean, men, people don't like to pray. A lot of men don't pray, and those who pray, many of them don't know how to pray well. So people who really know how to pray and who can get things done well in prayer, they are not that many on the earth, and they are precious to heaven. So they are almost like employees of heaven. So when they are burdened in the spirit, the Father has a burden, or the Son or the Spirit has a burden, there are people they go to, right? Because not a lot of people who are Christians even know anything about these things we're talking about. But people who practice prayer constantly, you find out that oftentimes while you are doing your own stuff, the Holy Ghost can begin to disturb you. You just feel something inside you. It's a pull to prayer. You know, prayer will be calling you. And that happens, they will just move you, and then you will just begin to, you do what you need to do, start praying. Before you know it, you are in the spirit. Once you are in the spirit, you just begin to meet burdens there. That the reason why they pull you into the spirit is to take a burden, to pray for something. Sometimes, a lot of times, that thing might not concern you at all. It might not concern, and oftentimes, if it doesn't concern you, it will register as a burden, but not much understanding will come, because it's not something that can register in your conscious mind. But nevertheless, you can pray it, and pray it through. Now, what you mean by praying through, like you're asking, is, and that is, this is where the discipline of prayer comes in. Prayer is awesome. I mean, there's no way I can describe it. You just have to experience it. Like, prayer is awesome. There's nothing as wonderful as being in partnership with God, knowing that you're in partnership with God, demonstrably, right? You are where you are. You are partnering with heaven, right, to birth things on the earth, right? Very, very, very important, and is a blessed thing, is a privilege, you know, for every Christian, and it's not something that any Christian should pass on, you know, a thing that is not important, right? So oftentimes that those burdens, when you pray, it will just be there, because of especially the way life is right now. Especially maybe in this developed world and all of that, maybe just speaking from my own experience. In the past, there are times when I move into prayer. When I move into prayer, I jam burdens in prayer, and I can just stay there praying for 4 hours, 5 hours. I just pray. Sometimes I'm able to pray through. I won't stand up until I pray through. And there's a note and of it, and I'll describe a bit about that note of victory. But one thing I found, at least in my own life, I have found, maybe the way my life is structured now and all of that, is that that it's possible to pray about a burden to a point, and then you get up in prayer, but it doesn't mean you have prayed it through. But there's that discipline of coming back. You don't leave burdens unresolved, right? You can have a burden in prayer, maybe in the morning when you just in your communion, you move into the spirit, something rests on your heart. You don't really know what it is. It's just a feeling on the inside, and you begin to pray about it, but you have to go to work. Then you go to work, you do your work, but you see that you don't forget it. You find out that when you have a chance to pray again, to move into the spirit, that thing will be there. Be waiting there because it's an unresolved thing in your heart, right? And then sometimes it can take days to pray something through, depending on what. Sometimes it might not take days, sometimes one day, sometimes just some hours of prayer, you know, it can take. But that sense of faithfulness is needed when one finds a burden of prayer, right? To pray through. And but how do you know when you're prayed through? Like Daddy Hagin said, and also by experience that I've noticed, is that you will get a note of victory. That note of victory it's almost like a feeling of joy, right? It's like almost like heaviness being turned into joy, or you feel light. You know, the opposite of having a burden is you feel light, you feel almost like joyful. What will happen is that you tend to break more into thanksgiving. You tend to break more into thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. You have a sense that something has been answered. It's a note of victory in the spirit. The feeling of the prayer will just change, right? And that feeling of burdensome feeling will lift, actually, and it will turn into a relief in the street. Like what I'm describing is very clear. Everybody who has done this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who don't know it that well, just engage it. Just make prayer, be praying this way consistently, and then you'll begin to discover all these things. And a lot of what the Lord will do on the earth or is doing on the earth among us, among the brethren, among the people, even that things that have to do with pasture. You know, sometimes, you know, the burden has to do with the word, has to do with the pasture, has to do with, you know, there's something the Lord wants us to maybe to talk. I'm just speaking from a pastoral perspective now, that sometimes message, direction, of part of pasture comes as burdens like this. You know, just praying, and then I pray in the spirit, and then I realize there's something the Lord wants us to focus on, to really get into, and then I might not really fully see it. And then from praying and praying, insight will begin to come. And then when the right picture, the Lord has delivered what he wants to deliver, there will be a note of victory. There will be a breakthrough. There will be a breakthrough in the spirit. There will also be a release of the spirit, you know, for delivery of those things, you know. And so this manifests in different ways. It can manifest in any aspect of your life, you know, and all of that, because the Lord is very, very, you know, very, very dynamic. Amen. I hope I'm able to answer you. So,
no, yes, sir. No, thank you so much, sir. Yes, sir. Just, yes, sir. It's, thank you very much. This is great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Folakemi, please, your question.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask about. So, it's about intercession, sir. So, when you're praying for people, so, in times, let's say that somebody is in the hospital and you go visit the person, somebody is sick.
I'm so sorry. Somebody is. Your voice is not too clear.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah.
So I was saying that my question is about intercession, sir. So
yeah.
Let's say somebody's in the hospital, at home sick on their sick bed.
Yeah.
Even when somebody wants to, like, somebody's really, really trusting God for something, right? And most, like, for this category of people, like, for this question, I'm asking in the context of baby Christians, actually.
Okay.
You go visit, and then it's more like, and it's very sensitive, right? Because let's say the person is like, oh, I just pray that this person will be healed, right? But in your spirit, there's no liberty to pray along that line for some reason. Like, but you know that scripture says that you shall live long, right? You shall not die but live to declare the goodness of God. But that even to pray prayers like that, there's a little bit of restriction in the spirit. Why? So, like, can you shed more light on that? Because I feel like, let's say this person has more understanding. Can I say that, oh, I just feel a check in my spirit. Let's just pray more. Let's pray in the spirit. But these are baby Christians, and they're sort of looking. They're like, oh, pray, say something. And they're like, and I also feel like, because baby Christians, like, his faith, milk faith, like, it's just,
yeah,
it should be just be raw power, but that, you know, prayers of encouragement, don't worry, this will happen. And then you want to say that because you feel like that's what they need to hear, but there's a restraint that you shouldn't say that. Like, how do you manage that, sir?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that question. Very, very good question. Okay. When it comes to dealing with situations that are, you know, right in front of you, maybe something that calls for either an immediate or, you know, kind of intervention, spiritual intervention, or the most important thing in that situation, right? Of course, there are many things about that. Like, for example, you mentioned even the people who are around, they need some comfort, right? Apart from the situation on ground, like, your heart could determine, could discern that these people, because of their level, they might need me to say something to them just to at least encourage them, you know, which is not really the answer to the situation, but there's also that aspect. There are many aspects to things like that, which has to be dealt with. But The most important thing is, especially if you're trying to look for a spiritual solution, the most important thing is that you have to find a way to discern the will of God at that time for that particular situation. Now, there's general will. Mm-hmm. And there are times when you just have to resort to the general will and just say, okay, well, God requires every to heal. God wants that no one should be sick, right? You know, sickness is not of God and all of those things, which is just general will. And you can pray along those lines. If for some reason you're not able to arrive at the specific will of God for that situation, and that can happen at times when for some reason the Lord is not speaking specifically about that particular situation on ground, what he wants to do, right? But we must not always just resort to just the general thing, that there should be a first of all an endeavor to seek the will of God. That the Lord, okay, this is happening, this person is sick, right? And now you've been told about it, right? You have to be able to trust that the Lord will bring a direction, right? About the fact that you don't yet know what the Lord wants to do clearly doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't have a specific intention for that situation. And oftentimes what is required is just initiating prayers first, not necessarily praying for the person to get well or to get healed or anything, because this is a situation that needs a spiritual intervention. Like I said before, the most important thing is moving into the spirit. Moving into the spirit, first of all. Oftentimes, like myself, if something's happening or someone comes to me or anything happens, I say this is happening and I need to pray, very hardly, there are some times when I know what the Lord's will is, because maybe the Lord has spoken to me beforehand about it, or as soon as I arrive and see the situation, I have a sense the Lord speaks to me. But a lot of times it's not like that. A lot of times I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know what's going on. Why is this happening? And all of that. So most of the time, I would just start to pray. I just begin to pray in the spirit. And at that time, my praying in the spirit, mainly, I'm not praying for that thing to go away or no, because one thing you have to know, and that the Hagin has really taught this about prayer, is that faith, when it comes to faith is not just a thing. Faith works in response or to fulfill the will of God. So in other words, you cannot have faith for something that God has not said he will do, right? That faith is based on the word of God. In fact, my mentor growing up defined faith to me simply as faith means believing and acting on the word of God, simply. It's just, so if there's no word, God hasn't revealed what he wants to do. It's not, what you have most likely is not faith if you just start praying. It's maybe just out of, maybe you just feel you should pray, or it's just the pressure. And like you were saying, sometimes you don't have that release of, I need to pray in this way and God really wants to do this at this time. So it's fine not to know. As a Christian, you're not omniscient. You're not God. You're not the one who owns the power. You're not the one who, and sometimes as Christians, you feel pressured because you feel we should be spiritual. We should be able to just declare things, say things, command things, and they happen. But if we are really realistic, it's not often like that. A lot of times we are just in the dark, you know, because spiritual things are complex. Most things that happen, you don't even know why they are happening. Why is this person sick? And there are many reasons why someone can be sick. You understand? So that, first of all, approaching with humility, with some kind of fear, reverence, you know, and then just coming from a point of, you know, honesty, that you don't really know what's happening. What does the Lord want to do here? When you begin to go into prayer with that attitude, do you have a good chance that the Lord can give you an insight into what is happening? And then when you begin to see, once you move into the spirit, some kind of clarity will happen. If it's a thing where all the Lord is just saying is that Everyone just be at peace. Just calm down. Don't fear. I'm in control. Sometimes that's all the Lord will say. And the Lord might not say more than that. And then, and you have to be bold to say that. This is what I feel the Lord is saying. I'm not saying more than what God. Don't say God will raise this person if God hasn't told you. Or God wants to heal this person. You understand? Unless you are saying that just from the general ground. And if that's what you are saying, then you open the Bible and say, you know, open to, you know, where the Bible says, you know, he has borne our sicknesses and all of that, by stripes we are healed. That's also, that's a ground for you to pray as well, because it's written in the Bible. And open to James, you know, where if any of one is sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and then all of that, then anoint him with oil, you know, and lay hands on him, and then the prayer of faith will save the sick and God will raise. As you are led, you can use those general scriptures to pray. But it will be clear that you are praying based on that, and faith can work. Sometimes that's what the Lord wants to do. But so the most important thing is not feeling pressured to act outside spiritual principles, you know. And when I say spiritual principle, it doesn't mean that there's no feeling. So even feeling of just compassion is also a valid feeling. With principle, like Jesus, a lot of times the Bible says he saw them and he had compassion on them. Jesus was moved by compassion, right? And through compassion, the impetus, that thing of making miracle, doing miracles, came up. Sometimes that route of compassion can be where God, the Lord, will speak through. And when you are acting of on compassion, faith can rise based on your compassion. Right? That one's another route entirely. Yeah, so when it comes to dealing with spiritual matters, there's no one size fits all, but the most important thing, which will never fail, is openness to be instructed by the Lord. That meekness that you're not a macho, you don't know it all, but at the end of the day, you might not even end up figuring out what will happen. You just thank God. As the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks, Father, we commit this thing into your hand. Whatever you want to do, do it. You know, as just humbly like that, the Lord can move in that kind of situation, right? Now, when it comes to now the Lord speaking, let's say the Lord really wants to heal the person. Right, there's a way you can arrive at that place from not knowing anything about that healing at all to knowing, getting to a place where you now know that the Lord will heal this person. It's very possible to go. And for me, one of the examples, we can't completely say what was happening in the heart of Jesus. Okay, but there are some things that are obvious we can pick from the Lord Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Because they came to Lazarus, right, and told him, your friend is sick, right? And then Jesus tarried there. He didn't go. He was just waiting. Now, a lot of messages have been preached about why Jesus was waiting. We don't know fully why he was waiting, but we know somehow it has to do with God being glorified and all of that. And what Jesus waited, was it 4 days or so? And then before he went, and mind you, that waiting of Jesus must have been under intense pressure, because he knows his friends are there. He knows they are waiting. They know he's the miracle worker. They know he's everything, right? All the guys, they have been waiting for him, you understand, to come and display or whatever. But Jesus is able to wait. And I know that his waiting was not outside, you know. Could it be he wanted to see, to have full clarity about what does God really want to do with this situation? It's possible. That would not be far-fetched, you understand? Instead of just jumping and say, okay, I have anointing and all that, but still waiting. And the reason why I believe that could be, because when he finally showed up in Bethany, right, when you read that book of John chapter 10, right, when he finally showed up in Bethany, and you know, pandemonium, everybody crying, was Martha that first ran to him as they saw him coming, to now begin to say, hey, if you were here, you wouldn't have died, all of those things. But, you know, the Bible said more than once, said Jesus was groaning in his spirit. Right, let's see that verse. Yes, so he groaned, right? Sorry, John 11, right? It says, when Jesus, I'm so sorry that time has gone, we'll soon be done. I just want to say this. So when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and Jesus, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he did what? He groaned in the spirit, you see, and it was troubled. That troubling is almost like a burden which Jesus picked. So when he was groaning in the spirit, I believe it's possible at this time he might not have yet gotten the clarity about what God wanted to do. Right? I think this is not the only place where he groaned. There's somewhere else in this chapter. This is the weeping, but it's that groaning, not the weeping part, but there was also, verse 38. Then Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, he cometh to the grave. It was a case. So I believe at that time, Jesus was looking at what was happening here, but he was pressing into the will of God, right? He kept pressing into the will of God to see what does God really want to do in this situation. He didn't just show up as a macho guy, just, you know, yeah, I have the power, I'm the son of God, you know, and all of that. Even though he was the resurrection and the life, right? So Jesus growing again in himself. To me, I see just in the moment, the Lord leading him from, picking, leading from the spirit, knowing what to do. Then Jesus said, take away the stone, right? And then Martha, the sister of him that was there, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead for this. Jesus said unto her, said, no, I am not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldst see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where he was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, then he now began to pray to the Father. He now said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, when Jesus said this, we didn't hear Jesus utter any prayer the whole time. But that would tell you that that groaning he was doing wasn't just, that was him praying on the inside, right? Asking, right? The Father, he says that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, now saying, Lazarus, come forth. So the main point I'm bringing here is that Jesus didn't just show up. I believe there was some kind of communication, a groaning in his heart about with the Father about what to do, I think. And then clarity must have come. And then he began to tell them what to do, because the Lord must have spoken to them. This is just an example. There are other examples in the Bible we can see, but like I said, the most important thing is pray with meekness, with humility. I just do your best to perceive the will of God, and don't do things that you are not led to do specifically. But that being said, there's still a lot of ground just based on the scripture that we can use in such a situation to bring comfort to people, and just pray a prayer of faith. When it comes to, there's no time at all, but when it comes to healing, there are many ways of healing. Healing, you can heal by the anointing, you can heal by faith. They are not the same, right? That's why we must actually know exactly what God wants to do in any particular situation and not make assumptions about it. I don't know if I've been able to help you at all, Father Kemi.
Yes, sir. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. So, time is... Are there any questions? Let me see, but I won't be able to take any, just to check if there's any more, to know if we need another. But I don't think we might need another Q&A, maybe, since there are not that many questions with this. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. And increase Mara Oste Arakanos Elio Reheno Fra Antophios Eratofaranasia Ancrienos. Oh, Mihera Manataya Lota Arakasana. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we are asking for more of grace, wisdom, Father of the Spirit, Lord, to be able to come above the devices of say, the enemy, all the investments of darkness surrounding the victory which we all ought to live in and walk in, Lord, even in prayer. But I'm asking now that this topic we've covered will not just be just learning, but Lord, I use it as an opportunity, Lord, to start something new, as you said when we started it. You want to bring, you bring in something new to do. You want to do something new for that, even for every one of us individually in our own lives, Lord, as we are learning to pray, as we are learning to pray without ceasing, Lord, as your word has spoken to us. I pray, let grace, God, understanding, Father, Lord, ability, power, wisdom, Lord, I pray, let it begin to rest upon every single one of us. I pray, Lord, for every prayer life, every prayer altar, every prayer, every person who's struggling, who has been experiencing, Lord, weakness, Lord, even in the area of prayers, Father, I pray, Lord, grant strength, grant grace and grant strength, Lord, to everyone. Father, I will thank you. We'll begin to have testimonies. We'll begin to have, Lord, breakthroughs. We'll begin to recount, Father, of victories, which we will begin to have, because you will raise us all up collectively. You'll make us strong. You make us powerful. Teach us, Lord, the power, Father, of joining forces with heaven, Father, of allowing our hearts to be vehicles through which the will of God, Lord, can be established, Lord, upon the earth. Thank you, our Father. I pray for grace, for heightened sensitivity, even to the Spirit of God. Things that I have to do, Lord, even in practice, Lord, of, Lord, turning our heart even to the Spirit, moving, Father, our senses from the external, moving it into the Spirit, turning our attention to the Spirit. I pray, begin to grant every soul, Lord, the grace. But even for this, let it be a constant thing, a non-ceasing thing that will begin to occur with us everywhere, Lord, in every place, lifting holy hands, praying without ceasing. But we thank you. We give you glory. Holy Spirit, everything that stands as infirmities within our life, oh God, that is hindering the full expression, Lord, of prayers. But I pray, Holy Spirit, you begin to help us to deal with them. Help those infirmities. Make us strong. Thank you, our Lord. We give you all the glory. We bless your holy name. Lord, you give us more insight, Holy Spirit, about this. When in the closet of our heart, you, Father, you will bring insight for everyone, particularly with our own specific challenges. Grant wisdom, Father, to overcome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.